Welcome back to the BizNews Rugby Show. This weekend, the race for the top eight in the URC heats up with round 16 kicking off tonight. This week on the show, we are joined by Cricket South Africa youth manager Niels Momberg, and as always, our BizNews Rugby insider Rory Steyn. Over to you, Rory.
Thanks, Patrick, and good morning, BizNews tribe. I'm glad you introduced Niels like that as the youth manager and head of umpires now for Cricket South Africa, but he's far more than that. BizNews tribe, I've known Niels for many, many years. He is one of four sons of the late Stellenbosch legend, Womyani Momberg. And I asked Niels to join us today, Patrick, because he's the only guy I know who is literally a walking encyclopedia of cricket and rugby. So being almost Stellenbosch royalty, he is a passionate Marty. He coined the phrase, the Marty Scott, to do with a certain player that we might discuss later on in the show. And Niels, it's an absolute privilege and a pleasure to host you as we discuss this coming weekend's URC round 16. We're getting into the sharp end now. We've only got three more rounds of the URC, and then it's straight into the quarterfinals. And I have to apologize, BizNews tribe, because there was an error in the newsletter we sent out on Monday where I talked about the round 15 being the quarterfinal. That's because I was still in Investec Champions Cup quarterfinal mode. So apologies for that. We are not there yet. This is round 16. We've still got 17 and 18 to go. And then it's quarterfinals, semifinals, and final. So Niels, with that said, would you mind greeting the BizNews tribe and introducing yourself? It's, as I said, wonderful to have you on board.
Thanks, Rory. Thanks for that generous and kind introduction. And thanks, Patrick, as well, for inviting me. I always like having a chat and having a bit of a go about rugby. Rory didn't give me any real briefing on if I can really have a go and irritate people. But yeah, I have some views, and some of it might be controversial and some of it might be wrong. But yeah, so be it. But we love rugby, and I'm really looking forward. I'd like to call this weekend, it's definitely moving weekend in the URC. I think after this
weekend,
there'll be a lot of, we'll get to that, but it's moving weekend for me.
Yeah, thanks for that, Niels. As you said, and BizNews tribe, we will be speaking to Niels again in the days that come following the end of the rugby season. I don't know what that means for South Africans. When is the end of the rugby season? We seem to have a 12-month season. But Niels has been deployed as a commentator on Supersport Schools. And Supersport Schools is something that BizNews Rugby definitely need to unpack and to explore, because without getting ahead of ourselves or putting the cart before the horse, that is the conversation for another episode. But Supersport Schools stream something like 1,300, stream live 1,300 schools sports matches. Obviously, the kind of jewel in that crown would be the epic high school rugby matches that we see. It's incredible. No other country in the world does that. So we'll get to that. And as I said, Niels is a commentator there. But Niels, would you just tell us a little bit about your background, your upbringing in Stellenbosch High School? Niels also played professional cricket in Scotland, of all places. Niels, just tell us in 5 minutes or so about your sporting life, how your dad instilled in you and your brothers our love for this wonderful game called rugby. Go ahead, Niels.
So, Rory, I grew up in Stellenbosch, was born there many, many moons ago. Grew up in Stellenbosch, grew up under the mountains there. My dad was his later life, he was an ambassador. He was a politician as well. But in his early life, when I grew up, he was a sports administrator / wine farmer. He was Western Province Athletics president. He was Borland Cricket president. When I was young, he played cricket still. So I basically grew up next to the sports fields. But I think my love for rugby came, my dad had a closer relationship with Dr. Craven, probably a bit of a second dad to him, because his dad died when my dad was quite young still. I used to go to the old Kutzenberg before the Danny Craven Stadium, was a ball boy there, went to Laar Skool Paul Roos, which became Laar Skool Eikenstad then later. And then I went to high school, went to Great College, played cricket and rugby there at a reasonable level. And that was me. And then after school, I veered off to cricket more. Had a few injuries, and I played cricket. Played overseas. Played one game for Boland, actually. Played a lot of B team, Colts, and that. So cricket is my thing, and I work in cricket. But as I always, and everybody knows this, but my main hobby is rugby, and school's rugby nowadays. I watch a lot, and I'm actually, as we speak, I'm leaving at 12 o'clock today. I'm driving down to Bloemfontein to watch Grey College play Paarl Gymnasium tomorrow, which in my view is the biggest schoolboy game this weekend on the South African calendar. Yeah, so that's my rugby, and I like talking about rugby, like following it, like watching it. Can't watch everything because you've got to, then other things like golf and the Open and stuff come up, and then you miss a game. So yeah, so but I mainly just from time wise I focus on watching wise on the URC. Because I'm a big Stormers fan. I can't get away from that. And I also try and watch Glasgow because of Rory and Carl playing for them. Yeah, and that's me. And I just follow it, and I've been fortunate in my time to meet a lot of interesting people, and also rugby people through I suppose through my cricket contacts as well. And yeah, that's me, Rory. I hope that's good enough.
That's more than good enough, Niels, and it precisely because of what I referred to as your encyclopedic knowledge of rugby, but also of cricket, that I wanted you on the show. I mean, Niels can tell we all know, because I too am a Stormers and Western Province supporter when I'm not supporting Glasgow Warriors. Western Province won 5 Currie Cups in a row in the 80s with that great that superb side with Karl du Plessis and all of those legends. I think maybe Niels will tell me, but I think Danie Gerber also was by that stage at Province for some of those matches. But he can tell you, Niels will tell you all 5 of those Currie Cup wins. He'll tell you the entire Western Province lineup, and that's what I mean by an encyclopedic knowledge and a love of rugby. So Niels, with all of that, and thank you for that introduction. By the way, Niels's son, one of his boys, is currently a professional cricketer with the Highveld Lions, and we're all very excited. He's a former Kez boy, so you can hear Niels himself, educated at Grey College, breeding ground of Springbok rugby players. Kez still breeding ground of Proteas. They still have, to my knowledge, Niels, correct me if I'm wrong, the highest number of Proteas players come out of Kez. So these large government schools that do so much for our sport are also domains within the realm of Niels's knowledge. But Patrick, if you don't mind, let's get towards this weekend's predictions. And while you're pulling up the graphics there, obviously there is a massive, oh, look, okay, well, let's talk about this one first. Zebre gave Glasgow a real torrid time last week, Niels. It was a scrappy affair, poor first half, and then when the yellow card came out for Zebre, Glasgow managed to score their 14 points, and that was the winning margin, 14-6, because it was 6-0 at halftime to Zebre. How do you see the other Scottish outfit going down to Parma? How do you see this one playing out, Niels?
I'd go with Edinburgh, yeah. I mean, I think they've probably still got a mathematical chance of qualifying for the top eight. I mean, I think so if I look at the log. Zebre is basically down and out. I think they're propping up the log. So I'd go to Edinburgh. And Edinburgh, if you look at their Bulls game in Europe a few weeks ago, I mean they're a good side. I mean they've also with a bit of South African flavour there with Piers Koeman and the coach. So I think Edinburgh, even though it is in Italy, I think Edinburgh is going to come out desperate. And they're going to sneak this one.
That's a bold prediction, Nils, and I don't often differ with you, but I have a suspicion that Zebre are so hurt by the fact that they let that one get away last week that they might just prove us wrong here. But let's see. You are correct, Nils. I looked at the logs this morning. The top four are basically away and gone. But if you look at fifth placed Benetton, Zebre's Italian counterpart, Zebre are in fifth, and Edinburgh are, as you can see, in 11th. But I think there's only 4 points separating fifth and 11th. So this is going to be a moving feast, and that log table is going to change and move over the next three rounds, the 16th, 17th, and 18th rounds of the URC. So, yeah, it's certainly going to be tight. I don't think it's going to be an easy one. Thanks, Patrick. So I'm actually going to predict Zebre by a couple of points here. Niels is probably going to say Edinburgh by a single score, but I'll leave that to him. But as I say, we might just differ a little bit on this one, Nielsie.
Yeah, Rory, I mean, I'm looking again. I like to look at it like this. I've often nowadays sides are not always up for it 2 weeks in a row, and I think it was Zebre's big game last week. So and it's a little bit more. But again, the Italians are passionate. They might get themselves up for it, but I have a sneaky suspicion, and I have a soft spot for the Scots, and Scottish rugby with my time playing there many, many moons ago. So yeah, that's the way I'm going with this one.
Yeah, Niels, it's hard to look past Munster bouncing back, right? From last week's narrow defeat to the Sharks. I'm sorry, to the Bulls. What do you see here?
It's a very tight one, and it's one of those games. It's very important for the teams below them, Stormers in particular. They're going to go past one of these sides. Again, Cardiff, and by definition, Cardiff not, because they're basically one of the better Welsh sides. But Welsh rugby is in turmoil at the moment, and Munster is Munster. I mean, I don't see them. They're always, I mean, Leinster is probably the one of the top, well, if not the top professional club rugby, whatever you want to call it nowadays, side in the world. But Munster is, when you look back over the years, fantastic club, fantastic history. So yeah, I think once again, I think yeah, and I often get burnt, but I'm not going to go 2 games in a row. I'm going to go for the visiting side. So I'm gonna go with Munster here. Probably also by 8 points, something like that. Munster's also gonna be desperate, and Munster's always, I mean, they won it 2 years ago. They're always in the mix, they're always in thereabouts. So I've gotta go with Munster here.
I've got to agree with you, Niels. And when Munster did win it 2 years ago, they surprised everybody, including our Stormers, because they won the URC, the second iteration of the URC. They won by winning on the road. And so I'm going to go with you here. I'm thinking Munster by 10 points here.
And then our third and final game on the Friday, three all kicking off at the same time. It's Rory, your Glasgow Warriors at home at Scotstoun playing the Bulls, probably the game of the weekend, second versus third. Roy, I'll ask you for your opinion first. How do you see this one playing out?
Very, very tight and tough one to call, Patrick and Niels. But you are 100% correct, Patrick. This is unquestionably the game of the weekend, because there's only 4 points separating Glasgow in second and the Bulls in third. So if it goes the wrong way, definitely for me and Niels, it would be the wrong way if the Bulls won here. It could well change who gets a home semi-final. The home quarterfinals are done and dusted. These guys will both play home quarters. If they both win those quarters, will the semi-final then be in Glasgow or at Loftus, is the question. So there's been quite a bit in the media today. Jake was responding to one of the Glasgow Warriors assistant coaches talking about revenge. He just said, look, it's not about revenge. He doesn't coach for revenge, and that's quite right. I believe him. But he did say that when these fixtures were released, the first thing the Bulls did is they circled the 25th of April as the match when they would go be traveling across to Glasgow Warriors and try and put right what went wrong for them in the second half of that URC final. So, with all of that said, and just having a little bit of insight there, the Bulls are coming off, I think this is their third match on the road. They're not typically very good on the road, although they proved us wrong with that last weekend in Munster. Glasgow have got a number of injuries, and although they haven't welcomed back Sione Tuipulotu or Hugh Jones, they are welcoming back Scott Cummings, but he's starting off the bench. And just as Josh Mackay comes back from injury, he goes and gets injured. So we've got Ollie Smith starting at fullback there. So I'm going to say, because I must stick with them, and I'm praying for that Glaswegian weather to take the Bulls out, but it's going to be very, very tight here, guys. I'm saying Glasgow by 2 or 3 points. How do you see it, Niels?
Yeah, I'm also going, look, I'm looking at the Bulls side here.
Yeah, it's a good side, eh? Ruan Nurkia at 7, I see.
I've got to say this. I mean, Jake has always been known as a great selector. Remember in 2004 when he took over the box and he found those players and how he molded that side with some strange selections that turned out to be fantastic. But if you look at the side, a few weeks, I mean, he does this thing. He plays people out of position. He played Valilaru at fly-off a while back. He played Keegan Johannes at fly-off as well. He's a scrum-off. For this game, he's got Marco van Staden at 8. He's left out Marcel Coetzee, who arguably is probably the form loose forward in the country at the moment. And there's another one, and he's got, as you said, he's got the Springbok lock Ruan Nurkia on the flank. Now Ruan plays, and he's I can see where he's coming from, but I just for me there's just too much disruption the way he selects sides. And then what you said earlier about the Bulls have been on the road, and South African side firstly never play well away from home anyway. Or a record, even going back to the Super Rugby days. I mean, you used to go on five-week tours where we play 4 games, and we would say, right, if we can get a win, 1 win plus 2 bonus points, that would be basically good enough. And because South Africa is such a nice place, and the mana are missing there, missing a bit of a Brian, a bit of a Branasi in Pretoria. So they got 1 foot on the plane, and I believe that could be the case. I don't think it's do or die for the Bulls either if they lose to finish in the top three anyway. So I'm also going to go Glasgow, especially with their talismanic captain back, the Marty Scott, after his long injury. I mean, he's been back a few weeks, but I think, I mean, again, I'm probably not objective, but I think Carl makes a big difference there, leading the team, and I think there's a great synergy between him and Franco Smith, the coach, as well. I only worry, Rory, about the Glasgow Warriors. I'm not sure after that beating they took from Leinster a few weeks ago, which shocked me. I mean, Leinster is a great side, and we all scared of them and we rate them. But I think being away from home, a little bit wet, Bulls being there for a few weeks, definitely homesick by now. I would have been. And so I'm going to go Glasgow Warriors by 8.
Good stuff. I think you're correct there with the Leinster. That Leinster game shocked everybody. I don't even want to talk about it anymore because we unpacked it last week and it was shocking. We thought that they would bounce back against Zebra, and although they got a win, I wouldn't exactly call it a bounce back. I think it was a bit of a bounce back because their second half performance was so much better than the first. But I can tell you that, having spoken to Kyle yesterday, that they are aware that the Bulls are gunning for them. I mean, everybody's been gunning for them because they're the champions. They've got a massive target on their back, so they gun for them anyway. But they know the Bulls are coming to prove a point. And I just think the weather, the 3G pitch, it's not easy to play at Scotstoun on that 3G pitch. And the kind of steel, the backbone that Franco instills in his teams is going to do the thing. By the way, did you see whether Marty Scott is starting on tonight?
Is he at 13?
Yeah, he's at 13 tonight with Stafford McDowell. Because, as I said, Josh McKay's injured, so Ollie Smith goes to 15, and then they've got Kyle Rowe and Seb Cancellere on the wing. So it's a proper backline. They've always had poison in that backline. And they love to spin the ball. So they couldn't do that at Zebra. They did nothing against Leinster. So I'm hoping that we'll see some of that tonight. Okay, and you'll see, you have the floor, my butt. This is the Emirates Ellis Park game. And I think the Lions were really useless last week there. It surprised me how poor they were. So what do you think? I think a bounce back here, maybe.
No, I'm worried. As I've lived in Joburg for more than half my life now, I have a very soft spot for the Lions, but I'm concerned that something is not right there at the moment. The way they, if you look at the side, They played against Benetton, was it?
Benetton, yeah, which was just about
Yeah.
Italy.
So Benetton, I mean, that was a shock to me. I really thought the Lions would have been competitive in that game. I think they also have a mathematical chance if they can win with a bonus point tomorrow. So they will try and do that. But Connacht, for me, watch them last week at the Stormers. They were desperately unlucky, but for some reason the Stormers will get to that. But their defensive system just went. And I have a theory what happened there, but their defensive system just fell over. So I think Connacht was also still in the run. They're gonna come out smoking tomorrow. The Lions have got injuries as well, so I'm gonna go again for the for the. Okay, with Glasgow we went with a home side, but I'm gonna go away. I'm gonna go with Connacht here by 10. The Lions are. I'm really concerned about the lineouts were struggling. They were not scrumming well. Against an Italian side, with all due respect, and it is Benetton, but they didn't put their best team on the field. The Italian captain didn't start. He will start tomorrow against the Stormers. So I can't. It's gonna for me. It's gonna be a massive turnaround if we see the lines that we got used to from about 6, 7 weeks ago. So right now, and for my mind tells me, my heart tells me the Lions will come back and they'll come roaring back, and I hope they do. But my head just tells me that Connacht is, and Connacht's got a better chance. So they could be hungrier as well. And I think I'm going to go with Connacht by 8, as I said earlier.
You see, Business Tribe, why I invited Niels because he sees things really differently, and I like you, I'm really trusting and hoping that the Lions, because they play such beautiful rugby and they're very, very hard to beat at Ellis Park, and they were poor last week. So your suspicion that, not all is well in the state of Denmark or in the state of Ellis Park. If that's true, Connacht are going to smack them because Connacht are decent. They're a proper side. I'm going to go with my heart here and say that the Lions are going to show some of that pride of theirs, and they're going to say, "Listen, that last week was an aberration, although we were playing against a very good side." So I'm going to go with the Lions here by 7 to 10 points. But I think you may well be right, my friend. I think it might well be Connacht that walks away with the spoils, and then the Lions really do need to go back to the drawing board. As sad as I am to say that, yeah. Ach, Arama Dragons, what are we doing here, Nils? They've only won one game the whole year. Can they win a second against the Ospreys, who is arguably the second best of the four Welsh franchises?
Look, I think for the competition and for Wales rugby, I hope the Ospreys win because they still got a chance. I mean, I'm devastated what's going on in Wales rugby. I mean, I didn't say that in my introduction, but I grew up in my early high school years. That was the 70s and the early 80s, and we all had that video. All the older guys, not you, Patrick, me and Rory, was called the crowning years. And I mean, I used to watch that thing broken. And that was the days of Gareth Edwards. And I mean, Welsh rugby, apart from what I had at Stellenbosch as a kid growing up, but Welsh rugby is what made me really fall in love with rugby. The way they played it, the way they took the big sides on. They were also the core of those great British Lions and Irish Lions sides from 71 and 74 and those years. So I'm desperate for what's going on there. But for the competition for Welsh rugby, I think Ospreys will win because it is at home. And as you said, the Dragons are just—they're just dreadful. It would be a massive, massive upset if the Ospreys don't win tomorrow. And I hope they do.
I'm with you on that, Nils. And like you said, the 74 Lions, which is it enjoys mythical status, not just in South Africa, because they really clapped the box. But that you think of that back line. I mean, it was Edwards, it was Phil Bennett, it was, well, there was a Scotsman there, McGeoghegan. But if you go to the wings and the fullback, the two Williamses, John Williams and JPR Williams, they were unbelievable. And my late father-in-law, he of Glaswegian heritage, told me that the finest fly-half he ever saw play was Barry John. Now, that was before both of our times, but I take him at his word. And I mean, the try that Gareth Edwards scored against the All Blacks for the Barbarians, which was essentially a Welsh backline, you know, speaks volumes. And it was all of those players. I'm with you, Niels. My heart is broken about where Welsh rugby is. And as we were saying on a previous episode of BizNews Rugby, Wales, along with New Zealand, is one of only two teams in the world where rugby is everything to them, you know, from a sports perspective. Yes, rugby is huge to we South Africans, but the majority of our people still support soccer. I don't know why, but they do. But Welsh rugby has got to be strong for world rugby to continue to be strong. And while we're on the subject of their demise, I think we might well see at the end of this URC season, we might well see the Welsh involvement in the URC diminishing to just three franchises, where they might take the Dragons and disperse those players throughout the Ospreys, Cardiff and the Scarlets, and then maybe allow one of those newly, let's call them reinstated or reinvigorated English teams to come in as the 16th team. But we're getting ahead of ourselves. We are talking about this weekend's fixtures, and I do see the Ospreys being too strong. I see the Ospreys winning this by, three tries. So, you know, 15 to 21 points around there. I think the Ospreys are gonna do it. They are at home, as you've said, Niels. Yeah. Here we go. Niels, over to you.
I'm very scared for this match after the Stormers' defensive performance last week. And Benetton is a very good side. And I think they would have targeted this game. And if you look at the log, there is so much run. Benetton is fifth on 41. Stormers eighth on 40. Stormers beat Benetton. Cardiff and Munster cancel each other out. Stormers win this game. They could go up to fifth. Because I'll get to that later, hopefully. I have a sneaky theory for the Stormers to go very far in this tournament if they get the right quarter and semi-final. However, what happened last week and what I saw was that on the right wing side, where Suleiman Hartsenberg played, something went wrong on the Stormers' defensive, where he kept on rushing up out of line. You know, they've got the classic rush defense. Norman Lake is defensive coach there. And Connor just tore them apart there. I mean, on attack, it was classic Stormers. Sasha Feinberg, Ngomezulu was showing everybody what the world or the Bishop's people has known for years, that he's a genius in the making. And so the Stormers will have to show up their defense tomorrow. I think they will. I mean, their overall defensive record this season is very good. I'd like to think that last week was just an anomaly. And they'll come back. I mean, there's going to be a big crowd in Cape Town tomorrow. I'm sure the whole community will be out, and they get the best crowds in the country anyway. So I reckon there'll be 30,000 people in tomorrow in that stadium, which is fast becoming something that's, you know, they're building their own traditions after the unfortunate demise of Newlands. But I mean, that's just how the world works, unfortunately. And so I think the Stormers are going to sneak it, but it's going to be very close. It's going to be a very close game. And my rider on that is that the Stormers defense will be fine tomorrow. But if you look at the Stormers side, I've got to just, if I could take a step back, the Stormers are once again being, as the players come back from injuries, others get injured. And I'm very concerned about Frans Malherbe and his back. That back injury is now flared up again, and he's now on the other side of 32, 33. So I'm, don't want to be the doomsday prophet here. We've just lost Kutsi earlier in the year, and I'm starting to wonder if France can get there to the World Cup. But for the Stormers to get back, to not to get sidetracked, that's a massive loss. Even if you think, or especially with Netlan Fosseer, I think he's got another week next week with his suspension. Very weird, bizarre suspension of 4 weeks for what he did. But anyway, so the Stormers are under pressure on the Tite side. And also then obviously they lost Dion Ferry last week. Another major injury for guy at 39. You have to now question, will he come back from that? Will he want to come back? But once again, sticking to the subject, he's also a big loss for Western Province. But the young kid, Paul de Villiers, who captained the SA under-20s 2 years ago, I think, he made a big impact last week. So I think it's his time probably to shine now. So the Stormers, I think, at being at home, they're just going to sneak it. But I have a sneaky suspicion Benetton is coming there with a big plan, with a lot of energy, a lot of passion. And I think the way, if you look at the side they picked last week, this is the game they want to win, because they beat the Lions last week. They win tomorrow. They're right up there getting a home quarter final as well. And you win a home quarter final. If you're in the semifinals, Rory, as we've seen the last 3 years, anything can happen. Nobody thinks Leinster can lose. Anybody can, you know, on a playoff day, you send a bull side like they did 3 years ago to Dublin, they can beat them. So for Benetton, they are thinking, if we win tomorrow, we are positioning ourselves for a big spot in the playoffs. So this for me is a big game in the overall, because of how close the log is. I mean, as I said, the Stormers can go to from 8-4. Benetton wins, they go into the top, they fourth. So they're looking at a home quarter. So this game tomorrow, I'm looking forward to it. It's a humdinger coming up. It's a massive game.
And nobody wants to finish eighth. I mean, everybody wants to make the top eight, because then you're in the playoffs, then you're in the quarterfinal. But nobody wants to finish eighth, because then you've got to go to Dublin and play Leinster, as you've said, Neil. So that's where the Stormers are currently lying. And I agree with you completely that were it not for the unbelievable, the magic of Sasha Feinberg and Gomazulu last weekend, the Stormers would have lost. As far as one man can affect a result, were it not for that hat trick, and then there was some unbelievable play by him, and also the chicken wing offload to Einster Suleiman Hatzenberg, were it not for that, the Stormers would have lost last week. So I agree with you. I don't know whether he can pull the same magic again, because that was proper magic. And while we're on the subject of SFM, I just want to stand still with this kid. I mean, he is so sublimely talented. As you've said, Niels, people down in the Cape have known this for many years, and we're only seeing it now, and the global rugby fraternity is getting to see it. But he's the petulant side of his nature, and maybe that's what drives him. It concerns me, because at some point, I mean, he did something completely idiotic when the Stormers lost that game, and he shoulder charged. His opponent, and he was sent off, and it arguably cost the Stormers 12 or 14 points. And he's clearly the heir apparent to Andre Pollard in the Springbok 10 shirt, but he's got to curb that petulance. He's got to learn a lesson at some point. He can't behave like that. And if he could do that, I mean, the sky's the limit with that kid. He is so good, so talented, and he's big and he's fast. He reads a game. He's got superb hands and feet. There's nothing he can't do. He's just got to get his mind into the game and stop losing his head at critical times, you know, youth notwithstanding and all of that. But with all of that said, Niels, I am as worried as you are about this fixture. The fact that the Stormers have had injuries plaguing them all season long, and now they've got a suspension as well with, as you said, Nyetling Fourcier sidelined. It's crazy, but I'm going to go with the Stormers to come through there. Yeah, I'm saying Stormers by six. Tight game. Stormers by six. A wonderful game to look forward to in the it's if Glasgow versus Bulls tonight is the game of the weekend, well then this is the game of Saturday, tomorrow.
Yeah, South Africans win by one. I'm going Stormers by one. It's that close. I have to, talking about Sasha, I'm not too concerned, Rory. I hear what you say, but he reminds me of Michael du Plessis in his youth, even before he played for Western France. And his nickname wasn't Mullis for nothing. He was, they call him either Mullis or the Mole Man. And
Who's this, Michal or Sasha?
now Michal, and so I think they'll work on that, and that will improve. Now, the current example for me is, remember Evan Roos last year and the year before, how terrible he was when it comes to petulance and bad and ill discipline and all of that. And I think this year he's 25 years old now. He's perfect. He's found that balance between aggression and over the top. in your face, whatever. I've actually seen him even walk away from a few scuffles this year. So I think Sasha will be fine, but unfortunately, Rory, to your point and to your fear, I don't think it's over yet. I think we're going to see a few more times of that petulant behavior. I think it will come, but it's just because he's very young. But I think another year without an injury, because he's about to embark on a Springbok season again, which I think is more structured and more laissez-faire. The way Rassie runs things as compared to Dobbo, and I'm not criticizing anybody here. I'm a big fan of Dobson as well and the way he conducts things. But I think a year from now we'll look back at Sasha and he will be the complete article mentally and physically. My fear for him is actually that his body, I mean, he's had some big injuries, back-to-back injuries. I mean, it happens to players, but I just hope that he can now play for the next 12 months without any, he's going to get injured, but no serious shoulder injuries or knees or ankles like that, little muscle here and there, that's fine, or a bump. But that's if he gets through a full season of URC till the end of this season and playing most of the tests, be it off the bench or I think in a year's time he's going to be the superstar in world rugby. In fact, not getting carried away, I think by next year this time, injury free, he's going to start challenging Mr. DuPont as that guy in world rugby.
From your lips to God's ears, Neil, I mean, I'm seeing the same thing. If if he can stay injury free and keep going at the rate that he played last week, it's then him and that young Aussie center, the 6'5" center whose name I've just forgotten now for a second. These two are going to light up the world stage and hopefully attract a whole bunch of youngsters into the game just by their unbelievable talent and flair. So yeah, a very tight one, and we've got to be wary of these Italians that are coming down there. They are a good side, and if you are correct, Niels, that they target the game, it could well go the other way if Sashay is unable to work the magic that he did against Connacht last week. Yeah, thanks, Patrick. Oh, look at these guys now. Leinster, Niels, first place. Traveling, what team do you suspect they're going to send to Wales?
Does it matter?
Well, if you ask the Sharks, no, it doesn't matter.
We used to this, and I mean, I'm as a guy that looks at sport, look, I'm a Manchester United fan as well for my sins, and I look at teams and I look at the systems that support them. That, I mean, Leinster, for a small country like Ireland, the systems, from what I believe and from what I've read and seen, that they've put in place, and this to roll out players year after year, new players, young players. I think as sports institutions go, they up there as one of the best sports academies in the world today, if you look at their results.
100%.
I mean, look, I can't talk about it here, but I know they've got scouts walking around here in South Africa. You see them here at the tournaments. They're looking at people. There's a very young, I'm not going to mention his name, a very young, very good schoolboy player at the moment with some Irish heritage. Apparently they're sniffing there. So it just looks like they are so well organized. So getting back to the game, it will be a big upset if Scarlets can beat them even at Saddam. The Leinster comes to Pretoria with a C side and beat the Bulls. Goes to
Yeah, and
Cape
the
Town
Sharks.
with a B side, and and it's not once off, Rory, they do it all the time. And again, I haven't seen their side yet. If they come there with their best side, I mean, that's look what they did to Glasgow, and there was another game that
Quins.
they Quins as well. Now you're talking. So if we look at the URC as our product that us support, Bulls people, Stormers people, Scarlets people, Glasgow people, that's our team. That's our, when we go to when they are when they are in Europe, that's the team that represent the URC. And then, because I laughed at Stephen McDonald's comments this week about Barrett has to go back to New Zealand and he has to prove himself because the URC is a, and I'm thinking, dude, did you bump your head somewhere? I mean, Firstly, I mean, you don't say that, even if you think that. That's just, and he's not an arrogant person. It never, New Zealanders are not, but it's just such an idiotic statement when you have a side like Leinster, who's basically on the cusp of, they need to win in Europe this year, maybe next year, you know, and they'll be the dominant side in world rugby. There's no doubt. So back to, I mean, I reckon any side they put out, they're going to put 20 past the Scarlets tomorrow. That's my view.
I agree with that. I'm seeing between 21 and 28 points here, four goals, irrespective of which side you bring. Interestingly, Neil, since you mentioned this incredible pipeline and you spot on that Leinster have, that is accredited to David Nusifora, who is the former Australian international that went to Ireland and put the pipeline in place, the whole development pipeline, which you know very well, because of your work in Cricket South Africa and our pipeline. But he has now been contracted by Scotland, because Scotland only have two professional franchises, as we know. And due to the budget constraints and all of the targeting that came after Glasgow Warriors won the URC, the whole world wanted to sign their players. I mean, Sione Tuipulotu was hot property number one. And Nusifora is now there to develop the pipeline. So they are. That's why Henku Venter, for example, is leaving Glasgow Warriors, because there's a mandate to sign Scottish qualified players. Don't have to be Scotland born, but like this kid you were referring to, and we'll get to that in the further episodes when we talk SuperSport schools. But there's a mandate from Scottish Rugby that they can only sign players now to Edinburgh and Glasgow Rugby that are Scottish qualified. And Nusifora is now the guy that's tasked with putting a proper development pipeline in place for Scottish rugby. So I think that's all good news. And as you said, Niels, Leinster's, I mean, with what are they? Are they 3 million people in Ireland? Not more than four, certainly. Then they produce this kind of quality in one club side. It's extraordinary. Yeah, big game, yeah, for those boys from Durban. How do you see this, Niels?
Yeah, it's a very difficult one to call. And again, if you look at the log, Ulster's definitely got something to play for. Sharks has got, they're playing for a home final. And I think I'm gonna, what I wanted to say earlier is that when I spoke about the Stormers, I mean, my as a Stormers fan, my hope is that the Stormers can win tomorrow. And I think their last two games is against two of the wild sides, and I think they all qualify. But if the Stormers can get the Sharks in Durban or the Bulls in Pretoria in the quarters, then they got a real chance. I mean, that's what I'm looking at. So the Sharks, for us, for the Stormers fans, the Sharks should win, because the Sharks lose here, they'll drop down. I mean, I'm not sure who they got next week, but you know, then they're under pressure. So they will be quite desperate. But the Sharks, this for me is just, I just don't get it. I don't understand that with the players that they have, that they can, if they pitch up there tomorrow with Eben and Sia and Lukanya and all those guys, but they just seem to just to get it wrong in critical moments. I thought they were quite unlucky last week. So Ulster is, I think they've been better in previous years. It's a very difficult one to call, but I suppose I have to. I'm gonna go with my head and what I see. What my head computer tells me is what runs out on paper. Now, what runs out on paper tomorrow, the Sharks should win, and I'm gonna say they're gonna win by a score, 6 to 8 points.
I'm with you. I think it might even be higher. I think that their indifferent form has got to click at some point, and we've spoken about it so often in previous episodes of this show. Neil says there's clearly something not right in the whole setup down there with Sharks Rugby. You can't have that amount of quality players who perform at an exceptional level for the Springboks come back to the Sharks and lose to a Leinster BNC team, as we saw. They've been so indifferent. But what a great point you make. If the Sharks finish outside of the top four and they have to play quarterfinals against the Bulls or the Stormers, watch out, because the Sharks are an exceptionally good playoff team, as we saw when they won the EPCR last year. They're very, very good when it comes to the playoffs, irrespective of their form. So we actually want them to continue to remain in fourth spot, so they don't encounter South African sides in those quarterfinals. Yes, it's a very good point. So I'm going the Sharks here by quite a few. I'm going Sharks by 12 to 15 points here, Patrick. I'll give the final thoughts to our guest, Niels, and thank you so much again, Niels, for your time. I just have one final thought, and it was something that I picked up a couple of days ago, that the Bulls are the only team to have beaten all four Irish provinces in the past year, in the calendar year. You know, it's like a Tiger Slam in golf. So I'm more than a little bit concerned for tonight's game. That's the lead into rounding off my talk, because I've got so much invested in Glasgow Warriors tonight. I'm worried about those Bulls, man. Obviously, they're bouncing back from the loss at Loftus. They've got a lot to play for. And it's got to be that Glasgow pitch and that Glasgow weather, and the Scotstoun faithful, the Warrior Nation, have got to get in there and make themselves heard, so that Glasgow can do it tonight. But I'm a worried man. And what a great weekend of rugby again we have to look forward to, BizNews Tribe. Please join me in thanking Niels. I'll give him the final closing comments, but I just want to say, Niels, what a pleasure it's been to have you on. We look forward to having you again when we unpack a lot of what Supersport schools have done, particularly within rugby. This is BizNews Rugby, and with that, I wish the BizNews Rugby tribe and the BizNews tribe at large a great weekend of watching. I thank you, Patrick, for assisting us again with the technical stuff, and Niels, over to you, my friend. Thank you.
Yeah, thanks, Rory. Just to cap it off, I think, and I'm thinking about this now, the Bulls has got such an exceptional scrum. And I think if scrumming was just, if the type of prop play was just about actual scrumming and winning scrum penalties, I think Wilco Niemand, Wilco Lowe is probably the best scrummaging tight end in the world today. Once again, it's controversial, but He is. So I think if it's the game gets slowed down tonight and there's lots of scrums, Glasgow could struggle because of that. But I've also watched them play, and especially on the pitch, sometimes there's not a lot of scrums. But if there's a lot of scrums and scrums penalties and the Bulls build momentum through that game will be very close. Then lastly, if I can talk about the Stormers game again, and it's quite similar. Stormers, funny enough, they people say they play this airy fairy funny game, but in their good years, in the last 3 years, with Frans Malherbe and Yetling Fischer and Kitsoff before he left and went overseas, their scrums were actually what they built their success on. So I think tomorrow in Cape Town and tonight in Glasgow, the scrums are going to play a big role, if there are a lot of scrums. So because Western Province at the moment, they've got an inexperienced tight five or front row anyway, or props anyway. So, if you think who they had in previous years. And I'll leave you with that. And guys, I really enjoyed that. Thank you very much for inviting me. As Rory will tell you, I love talking about rugby. I could sit here for another hour or two, but I need to get ready because I'm turning my car towards Bloemfontein and going down the N1 to watch a bit of schoolboy rugby there tomorrow. Thank you very much. And I'd like to do this again in future if it's okay. Thank you.
Absolutely, Niels. You can count on it. We will not just get you on for the Super Sports School stuff, but we would like to pick your brain more regularly, because you are a font of knowledge, rugby knowledge. And do me a favor, Niels, when you get a chance, send me a WhatsApp with a short report on the game that you're going to watch. Grey College versus Paul Khim. What a great game. You can't really call it a derby, but it's a fixture that I think both coaches look forward to. Send me a report, and then I will report that back to the BizNews Tribe in Monday's newsletter. But travel safely. Love to Tanya. Thank you to you both again. And BizNews Tribe, stay on the couch. Get the beer and the biltong cold. We'll talk again on Monday. Thank you.
Niels Momberg, the CSA Youth Manager and Rugby Encyclopedia, Rory Steinau, Rugby Insider, and I'm Patrick Kidd from BizNews.com.